الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، so inshallah ta'ala we continue on the 25th hadith. From Umar al-Ahkam to Bari Maqdasi Muhammad al-Ta'ala al-Alama. And we believe we reached the hadith an Qais bin Mihsan al-Asadiyyah radiallahu ta'ala anha atat bi ibn laha صغير لم يأكل الطعام لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، فجلسه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجره فبال على ثوبه فدعا بماء فمضحه على ثوبه ولم يغسله. وفي حديث عائشة أم المؤمنين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أوتي بصبي فبال على ثوبه فدعا بماء فأتبعه إياه والمسلم أتبعه بوله ولم يغسله بوله ولم يغسله. In the narration that Umm Qais bint Mihsan رضي الله تعالى عنها that she bought her young son who had not started eating to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, who took him and made him sit on his lap. Then the child urinated on the garments or the thobe of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So he asked for some water and he sprinkled water over the soiled area. But he didn't wash it. And then another narration in the Aisha رضي الله تعالى عنها أم المؤمنين that a child was brought to the Prophet, to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he urinated on his garment, on his thobe, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for water and he poured the water over the soil. But he, in another narration again, an Aisha tells us anha, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called for some water and he sprinkled over the urine, but he did not wash it. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Umdat al-Ahkam, what we do is what we usually do regarding the narration, the explanation of the this Umdat al-Ahkam, this amazing compilation of fiqh, misal fiqhiyah, mu'amalat wa ibadat. We take it, the kalam and the shurah and the shurur from our ulama, like Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen al-Allama rahmatullahi alayhi. And as we know from the way of the Shaykh in explaining in his shurah of Umdat al-Ahkam, مثل تربية الأفهام في شرح عمدة الأحكام. He begins with the موضوع الحديث. He begins with the موضوع الحديث, أي the topic of the hadith. يعني if you were to give this hadith a topic or a title, Ibn al-Taymiyyah رحمه الله تعالى, he says that the topic of the hadith is بيان كيفية تطهير الأرض من البول. معلش, he says بيان كيفية تطهير الثياب من البول. معلش, بيان كيفية تطهير الثياب من بول السبيان, من بول السبيان. And that is the clarification on on how to purify one's thawb, how to purify one's thawb after a baby boy has urinated on it, and on that part of the thawb. Clarification on how to purify one's thawb when a child has urinated on it, baby boy. The narrator of this, which is point number two, and the narrator of this hadith is Qais bint Mihsan al-Asadiyya radiyallahu ta'ala anha wa laha suhbah. Qais is a kunya, and she is known mainly as Qais radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And some of the ulama of hadith have said that she's only known as Qais, but Ibn Abi Barr and other than him, rahimahullah ta'ala, have said that the name of this companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Amina. So her name is Amina bint Mihsan, and her kunya is Qais. And her kunya is Qais, and she was the sister of Ukasha ibn Mahsan. She was the sister of Ukasha ibn Mahsan, which is a companion that we all know, which is mentioned in a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promised him paradise. Ukasha ibn Mahsan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was promised paradise. He's the brother of the narrator of this hadith, Qais, yani Amina bint Mihsan al-Asadiyya radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Aslam al-Qadim, and she was from the foremost to embrace Islam, and she migrated to Medina, and she lived a long life. And she lived a long life. And the story about her long life that she lived, which is recorded in the books of Tariq, is that her child died. She made a comment on how the child was being washed, yani after his death, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a dua for her. She says, "Ma qalat tala umraha." Whatever she said was the truth, and may her life be long. And so she lived a long life, and that's from the Alam al-Nubuwah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for her life to be long, and her life was long. She lived a long life, radiyallahu ta'ala anha. The second narrator, which is mentioned in this hadith, is al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. And we've previously mentioned the tarjima and the biography of al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. So this is the chapter of this hadith, and the topic of this hadith is how to purify one's soul from when a baby boy urinates on it. In this hadith, now we go to the kalimat of the hadith, the list of words that's mentioned, and some of the al-fadl that's mentioned in this hadith, and from those that we're going to mention and talk about is Ibn al-Laha. Ibn al-Laha, yani, who was a son of Qais, was the one that was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was her son. And the ulama of hadith, and like Ibn Malakin rahimahullah ta'ala, and other than him, they haven't actually they don't actually have a narration or any indication on the name of the child that died, that came to the Prophet, that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except that he died at a young age. But no one knows the name of this baby that was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's not known. And Ibn Mulaqin rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that he's looked and he's researched in the books of the hadith, and looked for the Muhammad and those names that are obscure in the Asanid and the chains of narrations, but he hasn't actually found the name of the companion, or sorry, the child, the baby that is mentioned in this hadith. And then we can look at this hadith where it says that that he's been in Laha, so he came with a son, a small child, baby, and then the sifa, as is seen in the Arab of this and this hadith, if you want to go too deep into the Arab, but the sifa is what type of child it is. And you mentioned the child. So what type of child and what kind of child, what are the attributes of this child, what is the sifa, what are the adjectives of this child? And in the Arabic language, as we know, a sentence can be an adjective. In the Arabic language, as we know, a sentence can be adjective. And the sentence that is the adjective and the description of this child is لَمْ يَأْكُلِ الطَّعَامِ. It's a sentence where it says that he hasn't started eating food. So this is the description of the boy, and that's what we have here from the hadith here in this narration, is that the child didn't start eating food. Now the ulama have differed as it relates to what does it mean by food here? What does it mean by food? The ulama have mentioned that food that is intended here is barley, that the child is not able to eat food such as barley and so forth. But the correct and more precise explanation is that the child hasn't reached an age where it needs food in order to be to sustain. It hasn't reached a stage where it needs food in order to sustain, and it hasn't reached an age where the food should be replaced by breast milk. The food should be replaced by breast milk. So this is the correct explanation of ta'am, of food that is intended here. And the reason why, as Ibn Mulaqin rahimahullah ta'ala mentioned, the reason why this definition of food here is the most precise definition is because of the sunnah of giving your child date when they are born, and taking the date in your mouth and making it moist and giving it to the child is from the sunnah and from the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this in itself obviously is food. So it is food, but it is not the food, or just because the child has received it, it doesn't mean that the child has reached an age where food can be replaced by milk, where food can be replaced by milk. So this definition is precise in that regard, which means it incorporates the fact that a child can still receive the date when they are born, and the date that's been made moist and soft and given to the newborn, but it doesn't mean that it's a child that eats food. It doesn't mean that it's a child that eats food, because the meaning in this hadith, لَمْ يَكُلِ الطَّعَامِ, that he doesn't eat food, it means that it doesn't need the food, it's not at an age where food is needed in order for it to sustain and be strong, and it's not replaced by milk, and it's not replaced by milk. And this is the kalam of Ibn Muraqqin rahimahu ta'ala. And in another narration in Sahih Muslim, لم يبلغ أن يأكل الطعام. يعني he hasn't reached an age where he could eat food. He hasn't reached an age where he can eat food. Now, so then لم يأكل الطعام فأجلسه صلى الله عليه وسلم في حجري we didn't have a Kesra Hijr or Hujr. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he sat the boy down in his naam, he sat the boy down sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the boy urinated, the boy urinated, the baby boy urinated on the soul of the Prophet, or the garment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then another lafz that is used in this hadith, another hawahu, and that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sprinkled water on it. And that which is taken from this lafz, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he sprinkled water on the soul, is a few benefits. And the first benefit that is taken from this is that that it is impure. Now, the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sprinkled water over it is because it was impure. It was impure, but it is sufficient to sprinkle water. And Ibn Muraqqin rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that just because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sprinkled water and he didn't wash it, it doesn't mean that it's not impure. It doesn't mean that the urine of the baby boy is not impure, but rather it is from the najasat, it is impure, but it is sufficient that one sprinkles the izalat to najasa in order to remove the impurity. وَلَمْ يَغْسِلُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ. He did not wash it and he did not scrub it. Yani it was sprinkle and he did not use his hands to clean it. So it shows here from the statement of the Prophet of Qais that another Hahu that he sprinkled water, meaning he didn't touch the soul. He just sprinkled water on it. Now, and in the narration of Aisha Utiya bi Sabi, a child was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that child was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in order for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give them dates. The Prophet put dates in his mouth, make the dates soft, and then feed the child. As we mentioned previously, next make lamb meal cool. He doesn't eat food. But over here, this is the date that is from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give to the child, and that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And it's from the rahmah and the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the good character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that when the companions will come to him with their children and the newborn, that he would do so and give them time and give the child that's been brought to him dates. So Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions that it was from the norm of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would bring their children to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after they've been born. That they will bring the children to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after they've been born in order to give them dates and in order to make dua for them, or for them to receive blessings, or for them to receive blessings from the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان أن أحسن الناس خلقاً, and he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from the best manner of creation, and he used to accept this from when his companions used to bring their children. He used to accept them and he used to do that for his companions, and he used to bring them to his house and sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and give them the kids dates and so forth. And this is from the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in order to bring happiness to the parents of the newborn, it's from the mercy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's from his good etiquette. So here in this hadith, Amina bint Mahsan al-Asadiyyah radiallahu anha, as we've ascertained that's her name, but she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with a child that had not reached an age in which food was needed in order to maintain nutrition, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sat the baby carried the baby sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet carried the baby, and the baby urinated on his stove, and when the baby urinated on his stove, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't feel uncomfortable. He didn't show any displeasure. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam maintained the good etiquette that he's taught the ummah, and this is again a lesson for us all, that if we are in the same position where maybe our children or our friends' children and so forth may have urinated on us, we shouldn't feel disgusted. As the best of creation, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, urinated on his soul, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give no type of indication of disgust or anything, but rather he maintained his good etiquette and good manners, and rather he just taught the companions radhiyallahu anhum on how to deal with a situation as this by sprinkling water on the area in which the child had urinated, by sprinkling water on the area which the child has urinated, and this is how, and also showing the mercy of the Prophet ﷺ is that the child sat on his lap on the hijri. He sat on the lap of the Prophet ﷺ. He sat him on his lap, and the Prophet ﷺ showing mercy to the youth and to the young, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The next issue that we're going to deal with as it relates to this hadith is the difference of opinion that the ulama or the deen have had as it relates to the urine of the boys and the urine of the girls, yani the boys and the girls' urine, as it relates to how one should purify a boy's urine if it's a baby boy's urine, if he urinates on a garment or an area or so forth, and also if this occurs with a female or a baby girl. Now the ulama have split it into three different opinions as it relates to this. What do we do when a boy and girl urinate on ourselves, or if they urinate on ourselves or urinate in an area or so forth, what do we do? The first opinion they hold that the boy and girl, baby, the baby boy and girl, that they're the same. They're the same, and that it is sufficient to just sprinkle water. It is enough to just sprinkle water over the area in which the baby boy and the baby girl urinated on. And they use the qiyas. And they use the qiyas on the analogy on the hadith of Qais, Amir bint Mahsan. They use this as evidence. They say this is an analogy in that if this happened for a boy in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sprinkled water on the soul in which the boy had urinated on when he sat on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's lap, then this should be the same for a girl. And this is an analogy that they have used. This is an analogy that they have used. The second opinion is and this is a group of scholars, they hold that they're both the same. And with the boy and girl, are both the same in that it is obligatory to wash
And in the first opinion, they say you should sprinkle. For the second opinion, they say it is obligatory to wash the area in which the baby boy or girl urinates on. You know, the baby boy or girl that haven't reached an age where food becomes necessary in order to maintain nutrition. It is obligatory to wash it. That's the second opinion. Opinion, first opinion and second opinion, in reality, they don't have evidences and proofs for these two opinions. They don't have evidences and proof for these two opinions because there's no qiyas when there's nas, there's no ijtihad here. Then we have the nas, we have the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which brings us to the third opinion, and this is the correct opinion, and that is that the sprinkling of water or pouring of water, as you mentioned in another narration, sprinkling or pouring of water on the place where a baby boy has urinated is enough. It is enough for that area to be purified if water is sprinkled on that area or poured on that area. But as for the female or the baby girl, that it is necessary, it's a must that the area be washed. It is a must, and it's the judgment that the area is washed. That the area is washed, and this is the best or correct opinion from the three, and this is the opinion of the imam, like Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmed, Ishaq, Al-Awza'i, Ibn Hazm, and also Ibn Qayyim and his Shaykh, Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, and Abdurrahman al-Thi'di, and other than them from the ulama of the Sunnah, they hold that this is the best opinion, that there is tafriq, that there is a difference between the case of when a boy urinates and a girl urinates. For a boy, you sprinkle on the soul that you urinated on, or the area which you urinated on, and for the girl, yani baby girl, you wash. For the baby girl, you wash. And they have a lot of or a few narrations which proves that this is the correct opinion. And from the narrations that prove that this is the correct opinion is the hadith of Qais. This hadith here, hadith of Bab, the main hadith in this chapter on this topic of purifying an area which a boy has urinated, is the hadith of Qais, in that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sprinkled for the boy. He sprinkled for the boy, and this is a clear evidence in this hadith that it was sprinkled for the boy that urinated on the soul. And another proof, which is more specific again, dealing with the female or the baby child or a baby girl that urinated on a soul or an area, is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I believe in Talib or the Zain, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says water should be sprinkled over the urine of a boy, and the urine of a girl should be washed. And the urine of a girl should be washed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that when a boy urinates on an area, it should be sprinkled on. The area should be sprinkled on, and as for when the girl urinates, it should be washed. And then the next proof which shows that this opinion is correct is the hadith of Abu Sa'd that said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that a girl's urine should be washed and a boy's urine should be sprinkled over, yani with water. Yani, and this narration is in the Sunan of An-Nasa'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's in the Sunan An-Nasa'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. And this and other narrations that we mentioned, and other than those narrations, is a clear proof that for a boy, when he urinates on a phobia and a nursing boy, that it should be, or a place that it should be sprinkled over with water, and as for the girl, it should be washed. And it shows that the correct opinion is the opinion of the Jumhur, or the majority of the ulama of the Sunnah, as it relates to this matter. Now, from the benefits of this hadith, and the benefit of this hadith is that the urine of a boy is in impure. That the urine of a baby boy is impure even if he hasn't started eating. The urine of a baby boy is impure. And that is that the Prophet ﷺ sprinkled over it. He purified it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is a clear indication that the urine is impure. Otherwise he would have left it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as he left it in, has left other things in similar cases and so forth. The second benefit that can be taken from this hadith is that it is sufficient to sprinkle water. It is sufficient to sprinkle water on the area which a boy, nursing boy, baby boy urinates on, and there's no need for one to rub it or scrub it. There's no need for one to rub it or scrub it, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam yantiqu anil hawa innahu iza wahyu yuha, doesn't speak from his eyes, it's rather his revelation revealed to him, and likewise his actions sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from his actions here is that he sprinkled over it sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he didn't scrub it. And from the third benefit that we can take this amazing hadith is the good etiquette and akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's the good manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first example of this is he sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepting his companions to bring their children newly born in order to give them the date for the date the kid's mouth and so forth, the child's mouth, and also to show warmth and to make the parents happy that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taken their child and so forth in that regard. And it shows a good etiquette of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also an example of the good etiquette in this hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is a benefit from this hadith, is that he didn't feel disgusted or show any type of disgusted reaction as it relates to urinate when a child urinated on his soul while the baby was sat on his lap, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Showed a good etiquette, and that's a lesson for us all. Another example, we can take the fourth benefit, I believe, or I could be wrong, but the fourth benefit that we can take from this hadith, is the husn ta'leem of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the good education that he gave to the companions sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that he led by example, and he and he sprinkled water in order to show how the area or the soap should be purified once najasa has affected it. Another benefit, which is the sixth benefit that we can take from this hadith, is that it is better to once there is najasa, it is better to, this is very important to akhwan wa akhawat, and that is once there is najasa, it is awla, it is better to race to purify it straight away. Once you see najasa or something or some type of impurities, don't leave it there. It is better to purify it straight away. Now why is that? The benefit of this is so you don't forget where the area that has reached or the impurities has reached, where it is. Because if you leave it for a while and you go away because you want to do this or you want to do that, you may forget the area in which the child has urinated on, and therefore you cannot know which area that needs to be purified. So it's better and it's more befitting and it's awla that once some type of impurity or najasat, impurities has reached an area or your soul or so forth, you wash it, sprinkle it straight away to the boil, and you purify it straight away generally. And this of course is taken from this hadith, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it immediately. He did it immediately, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Now, and that benefit will leave, inshallah, for let it be the last benefit of the doubt, inshallah ta'ala. And bi'idhnillah, we'll continue next week on the hadith of Anas ibn Malik regarding the Arabi that urinated in the area in the masjid, a famous hadith that we all know. And the Ghani al-Makhdisi, Al-Alam rahimahullah ta'ala, has placed this hadith in his Ummah Ahkam because of the benefits that can be taken from this hadith. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll deal with this narration next week. Bi-idhnillahi Rabbil Arshil Azim. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.